Right, trusting the Lord. 19 years in France. We hope you've got 4 or 5 hours to spare, because we could just talk for so long, but we've done our best for it to be 15 minutes. Last week, Nick kind of rounded up, finished off by saying he trusts us more than we trust ourselves. And we have to say that that's what we felt of God. He trusted us more than we trusted ourselves. Just to put a bit of background in, we first went to France, not because we wanted to travel abroad, but because Terry, our daughter, who you'll probably know, was ill, very ill. And if we went camping in Britain, in the UK, anywhere, she would have a bad reaction to the wall of the streptococcus germ, which is often around in moist weather, and that gave her arthritis of the muscles, might give you or I a sore throat. Well, not wanting to inflict that on Terry every time we went away, we went to France, the south of France, where it would be dry and where she would be okay. Not knowing how God was going to use that. We met a pastor there, a pastor who some of you know, and who had a vision to put Bibles or sell Bibles to Christians at low cost so that they could give them away to other people. Because in France at that time, and I'm going back quite a long time now, there were only 40 Christian bookshops in France, and you couldn't buy a Bible unless you bought one there. So he had a vision that we could really go with. And we became part of his support group in the UK. We took teams out during holiday times, and some of you here have been. We joined a group that prayed for France, a group of people who all lived in Nottingham, and we joined them. And then one day, it became very evident to us that God was saying, now you go to France. You have France on your heart. You have the people of France on your heart. Now you go. And we kind of, both of us, did a look over the shoulder. Are you talking to somebody else behind us? Don't you know that although Gary's fairly capable, he failed his French O-level 3 times? Don't you know that, Lord? And we'd also, when we were 22, newly married, we'd gone and lived in Africa for 3.5 years, which we'd loved. We loved the continent of Africa. And we'd always felt that if God called us anywhere, he would call us to a country in Africa where they spoke English. So we were slightly perplexed, alarmed, surprised, but saying, well, yes, Lord, you trust us more than we trust ourselves in this. But if you say go, we'll go. At that time, we both worked. Gary was a head teacher in a middle school in Mansfield. I had a senior management post in the special needs support service. And we really enjoyed our jobs. But we had to resign. We weren't old enough, even though at that time I already had grey hair. We weren't old enough to retire. We had to resign. We also had family. At the time of our call, 2 teenage children. My mother, who lived with us. So God had a lot of things that he needed to put in place. And he did. We had to trust him for our family that we left behind. And we did. Because we'd read this verse. It's in Luke 9, verse 62. Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plough and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We knew if we kept looking over our shoulder and worrying about what we were leaving behind us, we couldn't go into what God was asking us to do. So we decided that at the end of May, 1991 this was, we were going to tell our colleagues and those that needed to know at County Hall that we were resigning. End of May. The beginning of May, I suddenly collapsed at church and was not well at all. The doctor said to me, "Have you heard of ME?" I said, "Yes, I had." And he put on my sickness note that I had to have for several months, post-viral syndrome. So people said to me, "How do you think you can go now? Look at you." And I said, "If God wants us to go, God will make sure that I'm in a fit state to go." And I wasn't going to say this, but I am, because of what Steve Wendell said this morning. Prayer for healing, for me, took form in several places over quite a few months. But one of them that was most significant was when we were at a Horizons camp in France during the summer, August holiday. We went to France initially with the mission Horizons. And somebody there prayed for healing for me. But what he said was, "I pray against culture." That was his prayer for me when he knew I'd gone forward for a prayer for healing. And I was a bit perplexed. But that evening and that night, I was absolutely sobbing my heart out, thinking of what Jesus had done on the cross, thinking of that time where there was a separation, the Father from the Son. He did that to save us. He did that to save others. And I spent that whole night just in a caravan, trying fairly quietly to bawl my eyes out. But I knew that I'd had to go through that experience because of what I was going to be doing. And then I understood the following day the prayer against culture. Because we Brits, we don't really cry much, do we? We don't show our emotions much. We kind of hold it in a bit. But I'd had to let go. And I understood the prayer. We have to say that our non-Christian colleagues, friends, admired our courage for giving up our jobs and going. We'd like to have said we had the same reaction from a lot of our Christian friends, but we didn't. A lot of them were fairly negative. Not everybody. But there was a lot of, "Are you sure?" and so on. And it wasn't desperately encouraging some of the time. But the time came for us to go, January 1992. Donc, on est parti vers un pays qui parle, là, il y a les gens qui parlent le français, qui parlent pas l'anglais. On connaissait pas le pays, on connaissait pas la culture différente de la nôtre. Have you understood me? That was what it was like for us. We went to France, and all around us, people spoke words, spoke a language that we didn't understand. Gradually, we came to understand a bit at a time. Several months after we arrived in France, we were living down in the south, and after having been people who were fairly articulate in our own language, we found ourselves being able to speak in the country where we lived like maybe a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. Okay, we accepted that. But what was not so easy was the fact that because that's how we spoke, that's what people thought our mental capacity was, and it was a little bit disconcerting. And I remember going out from where we were living at the time and just crying out to the Lord and shouting. I shouted out loud in the street. I shouted in English. "I can't do anything! I can't do anything!" And he said, "That's exactly what I want. You can't do anything. Now I can. He didn't want us working in our own strength.
Amongst other verses that have spoken to us over a period of time, and a lot of people who've gone on mission field in one form or another will know this by heart. It's the end of Matthew's Gospel, verses 18 and to the end. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." And that's where we stop usually, because we go out and do it, or we try. And so often we read only part of the verse. So often we only latch on to a part of it, because if you read that right through to the end, it says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And it's that assurance that Jesus has been with us that's allowed us to survive. And at times it seemed like that, these 19 years. Because sometimes it's been fairly hard. So, as Pam says, in spite of our inability to communicate when we first went, and just to give you a simple story on that, simple anecdotal story, we spent several months in the north of France learning French, or relearning French, or picking up the bits we'd never picked up in school. And when we first went to buy stamps at the post office, it took both of us. These are two professional communicators. Two of us to go and buy a book of stamps, because we could just about manage to work out what we had to say to ask for the book of stamps. But if they then asked us anything or said anything back, we were stuck. Well, it's moved on a little bit since then. The other thing that we didn't understand, and Pam's already pointed this one up in her crying out prayer, was that cultures are different. And we didn't understand that cultures are so very different. We think of, you know, it's only 22 miles across the channel. It's not even that now, is it? Well, it is, I suppose, but it's easier with the tunnel. It's so easy to get across. And yet there's a world of difference. There's a world of difference because Britain's been separated from the continent. You know, and you just look at our history. And apart from these last few years when it's been Americans, Britain hasn't been conquered for 1,000 years. Where most other European countries have been walked over by various armies during that period. So it makes a difference. Anyway, to carry on, as we look back, and that's what we've done deliberately during the course of this week, we've looked back, we see that God saw in us a number of qualities. And please understand our heart in this. We're not saying these out of any kind of conceit. We're saying and repeating very often things that others have said to us. So please hear our heart on that. It could sound extremely conceited, but it isn't. It's just, if there's any pride, it's in what God's done in us through what he's given us, not out of anything out of our own strength. So what's God given us? What qualities has he given us? First of all, a sense of humour. And I have to say that's very necessary. Just before we went to Marseille for the first time, so that's what, nearly 19 years ago, to live. Norman Barnes was at the church, and he prayed for us, and amongst other things, he was saying to us that there'll be times when you feel like crying. There are times when it's going to be so difficult, but you have to just turn to one another and say, this is a time we should laugh. And believe me, there have been times where we have turned to one another and said, this is one of those moments we should laugh. When you've got minus 10 degrees and no windows in the building and no heating and no running water, and you're sleeping with a pile of cardboard under the bed because the floor below has no heating and is exposed to the elements, and about 6 duvets and a dozen blankets and a pile of coats on top of the bed just to keep warm, and then you have to get up out of that where you've been cosy and walk outside and go for a shower into an unheated building, then, you know, that's a moment you have to laugh, isn't it? Otherwise you do cry. What else did God give us? An ability to learn. And in spite of the fact, as Pam said, and I still haven't got an O-level French, we've preached in French. We've been involved in meetings and leading meetings and involved in big meetings very often. So yes, we've learned. We also learned a lot about the culture of France, so much so that one of the French people in the church in Marseille actually said to us, I think you understand French people better than we understand ourselves. It's probably true. But what was really important is recognising kingdom culture issues. Not just British-French culture issues, even though I have to say, in many respects, British culture is nearer kingdom culture than is French culture. So praise God. We've got a great heritage and we shouldn't lose it. We have to be careful to guard it. We've had perseverance, stickability, right through to the end. It's the motto of the Marseille Football Club, right to the goal. But the people don't live it. British phlegm, stoicism. We're unflappable. Presence. We have an authority within us that often certain people could feel threatening. We're encouragers, which is very much against French culture. If French people say nothing to you, you take that as well done. If they say anything to you, it's usually something negative. We're reliable. We do what we say we do. We're patient. We can analyse situations, reflect on them before we take action. It's probably why we're scientific, mathematical. We're determined, and we can see what's right in God's eyes and stand for it. That's been important. We've been courageous. Sounds conceited, doesn't it? But we know that what matters is what God thinks, not what man thinks. So very quickly then, summing up, in this look back, we've realised that these are all actually character traits. Every one of those things is to do with our character, with the who we are. And God called us for who we are, not for what we were good at doing. And what we did came out of who we are. And we've trusted God right the way through with it. And just to tie all that back together, with that verse we started at the beginning, or that I started with, not what Pam started with. When God calls us, he equips us. And he uses what he's given us, providing we trust him in what he's given us. He trusts us to use it wisely. And we need to trust ourselves in it. Amen.